15, 14, 2. Say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Assured of thy abiding presence with us, knowing that the presence of thy Spirit continues with us all way, even to the climax of this age. Recognizing the necessity of being guided by it in our understanding, strengthened by it in the necessity of carrying forward decision for the occupation of thy kingdom. We pray, our Father, that in this hour, throughout the length and breadth of this land, that thy people might be awakened out of their sleep and out of their apathy. They might recognize their responsibility before thee as thy children and thy household in the earth. That they might resist the powers of darkness and the forces of evil that would move against them in every area of their national life. That they might repudiate the areas of ecclesiastical leadership which are not following the directions of the revelation of thy word. That they might throw off the yoke and the bondage that has been being put upon them to lead them and to guide them into captivity. We pray, our Father, that the truth shall go forth and be multiplied and spread, that thy people awakened out of their sleep shall lift up thy standards and fulfill this which we with wisdom and understanding of thy word know shall come to pass. Grant unto us a strengthening of our faith, a complete vision of the victories which are before thy people as they occupy in thy name, and for the assurance of deliverance and assistance that moves with the coming of thy presence and the strengthening of thy kingdom with the forces of heaven. We pray as we meditate upon the situations through which we pass in this hour, that we shall continue to bear testimony to truth, or that we shall not permit ourselves as individuals to be suppressed in its proclamation. Teach us, our Father, that friendship with the world will not accomplish for us any achievement, but to carry forward thy kingdom in the earth is that which we have been ordained to do. We thank thee, our Father, for thy prayer which you taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and for the realization that thou art a prayer-answering God and shall bring this to pass. So we commit ourselves into thy hand with this realization that thy presence and thy guidance shall restore to thy people understanding, wisdom, and power. Thy name we ask it. Amen. Returning this afternoon, discussion of situations that relate to your security, the condition of peril that sweeps the world and moves even in a great Christian nation like this, where perilous times have come. But there is also assurance of deliverance, and with the coming of these events, these situations, also there is evidence of mighty demonstrations of spiritual force and power to be made manifest among those that constitute God's household. If you think for one moment that when we talk about dire perils for this period of time, that this is not biblical, you will discover that it is biblical. For in the book of Timothy, we read in 2 Timothy these words, and it is important that we see its significance. Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And this is one of the statements the Apostle Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, and he tells them that there will be people who will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, and blasphemers, and they do not have natural affection, they're truth breakers and false accusers, they're traitors, they're heady and high-minded, and they are not lovers of God. More than this, among some of those that help to create the perils of the last days are those that have a form of God-likeness, but they deny the power thereof, and from such turn away. But the instance of it is that with the vision that was given unto Paul, especially as he writes in the book of Corinthians, that he had been carried into the plains of spirit, and he had been shown many things by God, whether in the spirit or the body could not tell, and one of the things he saw were the conditions of great peril that would descend upon the latter days, and he tells us why. I do not think we have to go very far this afternoon to establish that we have traitors in high places, heady and high-minded, who are covetous of power and of wealth, and who would make a covenant with the devil and all of his forces if they thought it would give unto them force and power, or that would help to build up them a dynasty. We have evidences that in a great Christian nation like this, when leadership can select around it the enemies of Christ who are working the destruction of our country, then we can well understand that people are either covetous of power to make such a strange alliance. And there is no question that this reaches even into the areas of religious hierarchy, and the Apostle Paul alone was not the one to receive this revelation. For we recognize that John, taught by Christ in the majestic book of Revelation, in which he was to write these things in a book for your instruction, saw that in this climactic hour, when the evil systems of Luciferian households, building their beast system over the earth and producing the areas of Antichrist, would seek to make war against God's kingdom, that in this instance we find, even in the ecclesiastical field, a battle against the true foundation and principles of God's kingdom. All patterns of false error of instruction in the areas of ecclesiastical power are referred to as the harlotry daughters of Babylon. Babylon is the mother of false religions. Babylon is the symbol of the false prophets, ecclesiastical power, and in order to accomplish an objective against Christianity, an invasion of Satan's children took place into the largest denominations and the largest churches of earth. It penetrated Rome early to seek to change and make changes in its theology and thinking. It penetrated Protestantism, who continued with some of this era. And in your time, there has been a great penetration into the areas of ecclesiastical hierarchies throughout the world, which are carrying out the work of the enemy. They are supporting the spreading and building of the programs of Antichrist. They're waging war against the programs of God's kingdom and his instruction concerning that kingdom. So they are referred to then as the harlotry daughters of Babylon. And we point out today that ecclesiasticism is creating the climactic end of its denominations, which is also prophetic, and in this hour in which you live, the mighty growing development of a great new vital living Christian church will make its appearance, for there shall be one faith, one Lord, and one baptism, and it shall uphold the standards of his kingdom. If you think when we point this out that this is not substantiated, we'll show you that even as Paul said, that in this very day in which we live, we were going to see the perils that would be set. I point out to you that the perils of our time are the result of a turning away from the proper instruction and the cutting out of its blueprint on the program of God's kingdom. That the failure came first with the religious hierarchies that took possession of the Christian faith and its churches, and then with a falling away from the instruction of God, which is apostasy, the falling away lost the vision that was so essential in being translated into government and into the building of the structure of the government of the nations of God's kingdom. Since you are very real and tangible, and you are in a physical world, and the nations of God's kingdom have been placed in the physical world, and it is here their strength is to be demonstrated, therefore the church was a very special institution, a living mission. It was an oracle of truth with thus saith the Lord, to prepare the blueprint and foundation of a civilization, society, and God's kingdom which was to occupy the earth. Now there's no change in the program. From the earliest inception of your race, from its first appearance to the earth, it was the household of the Most High God. This was biblical, and this was understood by your patriarchs and your forefathers. The knowledge that they were to grow from the family status into great city-states and nations, and that these nations were to make up God's kingdom, is the foundation of covenants and blueprints of the Holy Word. It was known and it was understood, and in the days of the ministry of Christ, where it was recognized that here was the embodied Messiah, it was still understood that his kingdom was tangible and real. It was to be spread first with the dynamic awakening of all those that constituted the children of the kingdom and of your race to their responsibility. The nations were going to emerge with power, and they were going to struggle against the forces of darkness. At no time has the gospel or has the program of God's kingdom been a pacifist movement. At no time have we had an easy situation in which we were not faced with enemies, and therefore we are not to eschew the program of resistance against the powers of darkness because it may make a clash of arms or there may be violence involved. I want you to know that the powers of darkness have always used violence against God's kingdom. I want you to know that during the time of the ministry of Christ, when God walked the earth with his disciples, they were not secure from violence except by the intervention of his person, had he so wished to use it. I want you to remember that when Christ sent forth his disciples at that time, he told them that if they didn't have a sword, they'd better sell their coat and buy a sword. You may be cool, but you may survive a little longer with a sword than you will without one. He meant a literal sword, and a sword they referred to, and a sword they bought. More than this, in the instance of the message of declaration, I want you to know that the enemies of Christ, basically the children of Lucifer, is identified by Jesus in his own message, identified with their descent also from Cain, the unassimilatable offspring of Luciferian patterns of evil and seduction, and that identity with the powers of darkness throughout all ages made known by the words of Jesus. They were the enemies both of Christ and his disciples, that they've been enemies of his kingdom before this. They used violence at every attempt. And as such, they made mortarisin, even the lives of apostles who carried mighty power, and they understood this. I point out to you, and every once in a while I come upon a timid preacher, and I find little room for feeling that he should be given any special status of comfort because he's afraid. The Apostle Paul tells us a little bit back here in 2 Corinthians what it says. He talks about something he knows. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I'm an Israelite. And he said, when it comes to being a minister, I've had more experience in this matter than almost any of my critics. And so he said, now, I want to say this. This is what my experience has been. He said, I have not only had abundant labors, but I have been punished with many stripes. I have been in prison more frequently than almost any clergyman of the Christian faith. Now, this is the word of the Apostle Paul. Of the Jews, 5 times have I received 1 in 40 stripes. Now, the Apostle Paul made it quite clear that the great dynamic apostle, who, following in the call which Christ gave unto him, had not only a life in which the powers of darkness used him violently, but in which they kept him in continuous and constant peril. I talked to a person the other day who said, Dr. Smith, I would like to move with the right wing. I would like to take a very active part, but I have my social status to maintain inside of my community. And of course, he said, I feel that accepting the accepted course of theology and the accepted position of denominational Christianity does not incur any problems or dangers to my social status. Because, he said, one must keep that, you know, because this is basically Christian, that we get along with everybody this way. Well, I said, you know, Christ didn't retain that status, though he was very God in the minds of the court and the power in the land where he brought his ministry. They not only sought to destroy and smear him, but there was not one single evil thing that they didn't say about Christ, both in the lifetime and during his ministry, but at the time they sought to destroy him. And I said, while you're keeping your social status and want to be a disciple of Christ, make sure that the social status is not the social status of a world order that's trying to destroy the kingdom of God. It's important that you have the approbation of God, not of the world order, and it's important that you have the approval of God, not of a power or of a force of evil that's seeking to destroy. For if you're talking about accepted social status, then let me tell you that almost every one of the disciples of Christ was thrown in prison numerous times and called an outlaw for proclaiming the truth because of the power of jewelry in their day. Note then that the Apostle Paul was in jail many times and said when some little preacher tried to criticize him because they didn't think he'd been active enough, he'd been in jail more than anybody. He had already been beaten by the Jews 5 times, 41 stripes. He said, I was therefore also beaten with rods. I've been stoned. 3 times I've been shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been on the deep because of my faith. He said, in journeys I have been often in peril by the waters. I've been in perils of robbers. I've been in perils by my own countrymen when he was down around Tarshish. Don't say, why could a preacher of the gospel be in peril by his own countrymen? But take a look around at some of the countrymen you have, and I'll tell you that if you proclaim, thus saith the Lord, don't be too sure there's not a little peril involved right here. Now, the Apostle Paul also continues to say, I've been in perils by the heathen, and you can have that whether you're over in Kenya Colony or in Birmingham, and maybe Los Angeles very soon. He said also, in perils in the city. You say, no perils in the city? Let me tell you that Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when he said in the latter days perilous times would come. When I was a small boy walking the streets of Washington, D.C., I had that type of thrill that belongs to an American when he saw those beautiful buildings and saw that capital. Often as a little boy, I'd look at that and I'd know this was just the grandest place on the face of the earth. And there was a great thrill of being an American, and most of the people you saw on the streets were white people, and you didn't pay any attention to Negroes when they were walking around, because nothing stirred them up, and they were not that important, and you didn't worry about it. More than that, you looked at the beauty of a city like this, and women walked up and down the streets day or night, people went around. Never dawned on me as a little boy that in this great capital of the United States of America, it would be unsafe to walk the streets of a city at night, or it would not be secure. This was never thought of, because we were accepting something that was quite evident there. Too many Americans just accepted also in their adulthood that this country was secure and sound and no dangers could be come upon it. And we could continue to live our existence in the structure of our home and family life and seek to gather the things for security and pay little attention to anything that went around or went on inside of the civic life of your society. Let me tell you, while you as a race of people and a nation have been paying little attention about the things that have been going on in the years gone by, I'm not talking about the last few years, I'm talking about what's gone by, the rascals came in and paid a lot of attention to what was going on, and working the strategy of Antichrist, introduced these last days to you, in which they're trying to take over your government, your society, and wipe out and destroy the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, you say it's really not reached that far. Well, you're just a year this side of more attempts upon their power, in their power to accomplish this kind of objective. I'm holding in my hands Look Magazine. I'm not a salesman for Look Magazine. I'm disgusted with it most of the time and can hardly imagine a good article ever showing up in it. But anyhow, here is Look Magazine. What is this? Washington, D.C., a portrait of a sick city. And then you turn it over and you'll find it's a sick city, all right. That gangs of raping youth attack everybody on the street in gang attacks, one after the other. That muggings and robberies and brutality make it unsafe for a woman to walk the streets of Washington, D.C. in the afternoon or the evening. In a great country, in one of the most powerful countries on the face of the earth, don't tell me from any standpoint of blind thinking, from any ecclesiastical position, that perilous times have not come when you can't walk the streets of the city of Washington, D.C. and feel secure. When in a great Christian nation like this, any segment of our society can so create a condition of catastrophe that you can't walk the streets. You can't walk the streets of Los Angeles and feel secure either. We have great numbers of people that could not attend the congregation as long as we were in downtown Los Angeles because it had become so unsafe to go out in the evening in downtown Los Angeles. And if you think that that is a little bit far-fetched, then I can assure you this, that we have had not only this, but we have correspondence from a great number of intelligent people that say that it was not safe for them to attend meetings. In the city of Oakland, we have over half of our former congregation, no new people come, that are unable to attend because these women don't have husbands to accompany them or because they have no security in downtown and their cars are molested while they're in a meeting and they're assaulted. It went on the streets. Now, why? Because we have a dark wave of pagan force and animal ferocity that has had the veneer of leadership and guidance pulled back by powers of darkness of these last days. Now, if you think that we're secure and these are not perilous days, I'm now holding this week's Life magazine. So we're not reaching into some small scare paper that they like to call fright newspapers of our day. We're turning to Life magazine, like Look magazine, on the newsstand in two-thirds of your home. And what does it say? Here we have a threat from American Negroes. The white devil's day is almost over. And who makes the white devil? Every white Christian is a white devil. And they tell the story of why your day is almost over. They show you the training of the Muslims who are going to beat your brains in and show them how they combat the police dogs, everything else. But it's not a critical article at all. It's just telling you, you better measure up to their demands or this is what's going to happen to you. This is what I mean when I say perilous times will come. Well, you say, well, most of these incidents are being carried out in the South. That's far away from us. Well, that might be, but I have here a statement that is quite clear and can't not be misunderstood, that the same forces which are stirring up with their demagoguery this situation cite that the biggest demonstration of all is going to be made here in the city of Los Angeles, that here is where the great battle will commence, and here they're going to show that the most important battle for total integration and total acceptance and a rise to administrative power is going to take place. And they cite that they're going to penetrate every group and every congregation and every group of people. In fact, nothing that you can do that they won't have a right to come in. Now, what is the alternative if the great majority of white people still believe in maintaining their Christian society according to the laws of God in instructing their children and seeing them educated without being placed under the social environment that leads to mongrelization and violations of divine law. If they live up to the standards of thus saith the Lord and follow biblical instruction, what's to happen? We are threatened by these who say we're white devils about to be crushed in our last days by their evil power. Now, I can tell you this afternoon that we are not going to be crushed in these last days. We're going to be delivered in these last days from every oppressive evil that threatens the security of God's kingdom. When I talk to you about the fact that in these areas, as the Apostle Paul has so made it clear, that one of the great areas of breakdown was inside of ecclesiastical institutions. That's true. There has been not only a breakdown in this area. We mentioned last week that we thought the Presbyterian Church was resigning from the Christian faith. It wouldn't take upon itself militancy to combat sex teachings that violate the standards of morality and ethics with an advocacy of promiscuous relations. They wouldn't turn against that and take a position around that in their convention. But they would take a position in their convention that called for their clergy and their laymen to stand out unanimously against prayer in schools or any moral or ethical instruction of religious nature or even tied to the recognition of God. Now, these would be very depressing factors if one didn't reach back and reassure themselves every once in a while that what they heard was not based on soundness. I reread the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution last night, and I noted how they wrote out again in longhand that they had all come together and unanimously agreed in this year of our Lord. And they stated where they stood. And then out of your federal papers that lead up to the foundation of this, the declaration of the great religious vision of every one of the official statuses of the government of your colony. This was a Christian society. It was a white society. It was the bringing together of peoples from the various portions of Western European civilization, but it was dedicated to something that was going to grow and become big in destiny, not go down. And when I thought upon these things and saw how the Episcopal Church and how the early Presbyterians and how the Puritans and the Congregationalists at that time were vitally concerned in seeing that the young people and the youth of our nation had proper instruction concerning their responsibility in service to God, an understanding of the patterns of His moral laws, the realization that only as people grow up with respect to authority and understand their relationship to their environment as a responsible people before God do they grow up to be useful citizens. Therefore, it was in every school, private and later public. It was involved in every phase of your national life. I happen to note in this same magazine, Look Magazine, the Anti-Defamation League of the Nybrith, which I consider Satan's own private Ogbu Gestapo in the United States, tells how it's making war against Christianity and Christian civilization. It boasts about how many detectives and how much money it spends and how many lawyers it has and how it's trying to take everything Christian and everything religious out of our national life. How it uses the press and how it smears and controls and always seeks to remove from criticism their own kind engaged in this nefarious operation. I point out to you what I mean when I say that in the areas of religious hierarchy, there are those who think that they have the prestige and power and ambitious for building a kind of an ecclesiastical showcase that has no power. From the Episcopal Cathedral of Washington, D.C., we have from the First Episcopal Churchmen of America a special apostolic letter that was to be read today. The Right Reverend Arson Richenberger warned of the imminence of catastrophe unless people followed his instructions, and every Episcopal church in America was to read this Sunday a letter. The letter said the Episcopal Church makes it clear now that it has convictions against all racial discrimination, and that it hereby therefore states that segregation is in violation to all the teachings of Christ. It ordains a complete absorption of all people, irrespective of their race, their color, and their creed. It makes an advocacy then of the admission and the bringing into communion and the complete association with people of every race, color, or creed, no barriers against marriage, no barriers against any of the lines with which God has delineated the difference in people. Now, I tell you that It's urgent that we join the Negroes and these people that are demonstrating for freedom to show that the church will fight any victim of oppression. I tell you, the Negroes are not victims of oppression. They have been better off in these United States than Negroes were anywhere in the world. When I listen to this story of how the biggest showdown is going to be right here in Los Angeles, I turn to the Los Angeles Times. L.A. to be the big target for total integration. And while you were in this assembly last Friday night, their rascals and their demagogues were plotting, hacking the time for our creating trouble and disaster and chaos in our society. All right. Episcopal Church, Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, take the brainwashed propaganda of the enemy, move in against the foundations of their society, and offer the degeneration of America. So what do you think people ought to do? I think they ought to come out and join the Christian church. I think they ought to leave every phase and every avenue of it. We are a great believer in the invisible church. We believe that this constitutes every individual believer that believes that Jesus is the Christ. We believe that every white man with this concept makes up a great invisible church. That the church is also a visible instrument and institution, and as such, therefore, when hierarchies resign from the faith by their advocacy of an anti-God teaching, then the people should repudiate the hierarchy and join in that vast company. So we point this out to you. That is one thing that you're going to see. We feel this more and more. We've watched the miracle in 2 years of how, for the few churches that wanted to stay in contact, a few people that wanted tape messages, the message started to go out, and everywhere it went, with thus saith the Lord, it's taken hold until you're reaching 2 million people this afternoon. I think you're going to watch this doubled. In the last 10 days, we have had the ability to produce even doubled again over the fantastic development we've had. Now, I tell you that we're watching something else. We're watching clergymen and preachers and congregations that are beginning to write and say, how can we affiliate or join ourselves with this Christian group of churches? Now, let me tell you something. I believe God's got something in making, not for just 1 leader or 2 leaders or for the creation of a denomination. I believe before you get through the next year or two, you're going to see this great proclamation of purpose, the proclamation of God's kingdom, the lifting of the standard of a Christian church uncontrolled by a hierarchy that will accept the approbation of darkness. I think you're going to see the fastest growth and the fastest spread and the fastest rally of Christians you've ever witnessed at any one time. I think you're going to see one faith, one Lord, one baptism, without superstition, sweep across your nation, because it's getting to the hour of time. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. God still operates in His way to protect us. We have watched the elimination of quite a few dangerous enemies, and we have watched this happen. God has stepped in and plucked them out. We have watched the removal of the head of the World Monetary Fund and this Swedish Jew's position in relationship to international money. Money systems are a great dangerous one. And Herb Jacobson suddenly flew 3 weeks ago, has a heart attack in the afternoon, and he's dead by Sunday evening. One out of the way. A Russian who was to follow Mr. Khrushchev and one of the most ardent advocates for immediate military action against your nation, and he has a heart attack and he's out of the way. And then another contender for the political leadership to support and spread the consolidation for immediate assault against the non-Soviet world, and he has a heart attack. And this fellow will not be back in business, they say, for a year or more before he can even get out of his bed. And then what Mr. Keitel doesn't understand, and even the Los Angeles Times came out with in the last few days, it seems that the United Nations controller of the military and the policing institutions had a heart attack and he was very ill, and they had to take him back to Russia last week, and they sent out a new colonel to take over and look after this policing military establishment that, of course, is not supposed to exist. Well, we've watched these things as God has stepped in. And we've watched the removal of some of these forces. In fact, we are watching it almost every week as Big Target goes. In fact, just this past week, why Zionist Louis Lipsky passes out of the world. One of the most powerful Zionists in America, and a man who's been at it for a long time, and who's one of the most left-wing liberal creators of the socialist state of Israel ally. Who writes and directs their periodicals and whose machinations have helped to bilk America out of lots of money that poured down the Israel-Iraq hole. More than this, This man is one of the creators and formers of the American Jewish Congress and has led in strategies of continuing a violent warfare against our way of life and our faith, seeking to take out of every area of influence the Christian philosophy and identification with Christ from every phase of our government. And so he died this week, and we're not crying about that. I point out to you this afternoon that they can be members of your race. But when they get to places of great leadership, if they start the advocacy of something that is against the program of God's kingdom, they can become an unprofitable servant to remain here, and they can be pruned and taken out of the way. This doesn't mean their souls are lost. This doesn't mean that the superstition of Africa and of China is to take over our theology, but something can be taken out of the way very quickly when it takes the cause which hinders. And it doesn't give immunity to anybody. You may have an era of operation by an Episcopal bishop. You may have a whole conference of Presbyterian preachers that resign from the advocacy of their faith and the carrying forward militantly of the gospel and still not have as much impact as you might have if you have an authoritarian branch within the church in which one voice has authority to speak with great power. We point out to you that ever since the Pope called for Christianity to join the United Nations and all nations to embrace it and cross all barriers of race, color, and creed in creating a world brotherhood. And though he may have been motivated by misguided ideals in which he thought he was going to make the world a peaceful place, he may have been as conscientious in this, the responsibility of one who speaks with authority for as many who are the communicants of his church as this should have had the guidance of God, not spoken out of any human area of error. And therefore, because of the intensity of such error, do not think for one moment that error like this can be continued and can be carried out. I note that almost immediately after this, the help begins to fail with great speed. Now, this is not attack upon his person, but upon his thinking, yes. And I tell you this afternoon that this is no time for any individual carrying any responsibility in the pulpits of the churches of the kingdom of God to advocate anything that supports the program of Antichrist, for they can be the result of judgment irrespective of how high they attain in the positions of churchcraft. In fact, I think that the kingdom of God will find a more zealous action in this area than almost any other. Now, openly, no theologian would support the program of Antichrist if he understood it, but it's possible for people to be so bracketed by false advisors, to be so identified with areas of world thinking and to lack the spiritual guidance, which is one of the prime requisites of the Church of Christ, that they move with error. And we warn, therefore, that in this hour, these are the conditions that have helped to bring about the kind of perilous times which we perceive. Also, with this situation, we note that there are a number of developments which are taking place. Some people are wondering who's going to be the successor to the Pope. I think it's a rather interesting thing that we have the general suggestion that the secret conclaves of the church are submitted to great pressure, and today we are told that Giovanni Battista, Cardinal Montici, who's the Archbishop of Milan and is an extreme liberal, is the one that is to be selected in this task. Now, don't think this meets approbation. This does not meet the approbation of the largest branch of that church. And don't let anyone tell you that church has not been as much invaded as any other church. But remember that no area today of Christianity can afford to be written off. Remember, this is time for intelligent Christians to wake up. But in this instance again, what will transpire here, and don't think that that church has such a hold over Christians that they will not move out of it by the thousands if leadership continues to go in the direction of the world order and in the direction of super government or the programs of appeasement to the Soviet Union. Listen, there is no question about that. I hold in my hands now a news piece that came from Alabama, from Birmingham. There has been 3 attempts to assassinate Governor Wallace in the state of Alabama in the last 3 weeks. So you see, in this great country, the powers of darkness still carry out their assassination design, but again, like a wall of fire about them, they could not bring this thing to fruition. So we look at a few of these things. Talk about a period when Christians were being warned. This wasn't alone a warning for the United States, or it wasn't a warning alone for people that lived in Britain or in Germany or Christian nations. It was for any place in the world where Christians would be dwelling and where they would be living. What kind of a destiny do you think that Christians will have in Kenya Colony after last Friday's election? For the man that was elected there is none other than Jomo Burning Spear Kenyatta, the head of the bloody, evil, vicious Mau Mau, who has pledged that white man's blood shall soak the earth of Africa and we shall drive every one of them out or liquidate them here. The light is what they want to put out. The savor of the spiritual force and order of God's law in the kingdom is that which they wish to stop. Now, I could go on in numerous occasions that have taken place in this very last week. Some things even more than others. I note here out of the Los Angeles Times, and I'm reading this from last Thursday, it says, "We are very much disturbed by illegality which seems to be breeding more and more. The big question today is that there's no longer respect for law and for constitutional processes. The disquieting thing is that the Supreme Court asserts the right to amend the Constitution, which is not granted within the Constitution, and that it desires to amend it without going through the adoption of a constitutional process. The Supreme Court concedes that it has more knowledge than the Congress or the executive branch, and that we must therefore live up to our time. The President orders troops into Alabama in direct violation of the provisions of the Constitution. And in face of this, the governor of Alabama appeals to the Supreme Court to be told that this court no longer protects or supplies the answer to his supplication, which he has a right to appeal to. So law has broken down. Then in the meantime, situations occur all over the land where violence builds up, and yet one of the most significant men from Mississippi is Senator John Stennis, and he talks about the mobilization of armed might, federal military forces in violation of law, while the government approves armed violence and mobs and whitewashes this for the public. And in this instance, again, we have over 11 counts on this one newspaper article in the Times for this week, in which it says law and order has broken down. I hold in my hands another piece by Dr. Robert Hutchins. Now, of course, he's chairman of the Study of Democratic Institutions at Santa Barbara. He's also one of the contributing factors in the Great Books of the Western World symposium and the development and direction of this study. And I want you to know that there is no more left-wing deteriorating review of literature than the study that's provided by Britannica in the World's Great Books. And that this man is about as left-wing and pink as any educator that's migrated to California. Now, in this instance, in this week, he said that historians are going to look back on this period and say, this is the time when the United States became one country. They said before that we were a group of states which were entirely in opposition one to the other, but this is the time when we will become one country. And they will note with surprise that a group of aged lawyers called the Supreme Court brought it to pass, because the court realizes what many American citizens do not, that we must abolish the prejudices of states and localities and legislatures and the restriction of rights upon anybody that dwells in these United States. And even though dissenting opinions from Harlan and Clark and Stewart and White keep pointing out, the court is changing our federal structure of government. Now, this is the statement. Now, this is a wonderful thing, says this Pinker. He also says, of course, when the court gets into a legislative apportionment in these factors, it strikes down the powers of the state. It cites here that the sessions of the court are continuing a dialogue to achieve what they believe to be essential freedoms of justice, The executive is too timid. The Congress is ineffective. They must bypass all these processes. We are going through a progressive revolution, and the standards that are being created by the Supreme Court. And he thinks this is wonderful because they're the only people smart enough to tell you how to mold America. This is why I tell you that even to countenance this situation is a perilous condition. There has never been a period of time when it was more important for us to understand that your race possesses capacities and qualities which God Almighty ordained as He begat you into existence in celestial planes, and as He planted you in the earth as the Adamic race, as His household. And within this capacity, you had the ability to think His thoughts, to be influenced and guided by His purposes. And had not you been brought under submission by your own acceptance of the lie and the error of Lucifer, you would have had possessed great power. This power is still yours. It's still a resident power that God can quicken within you. Now we cite unto you that the story of divine purpose is one of achievement and one of victory. And the progression with which God has been restoring back to your race that which you lost, while at the same time you were still at all times superior to the forces that were round about you. Hamburg, Germany, a group of medical scientists and students in all areas of science were gathered together a few weeks ago, and I was very much interested in the reports of what was there stated. Among them were a great group of geologists, archaeologists, anthropologists, biochemists, neurologists, medical scientists. And in the instance of it, they were discussing patterns of life, and they were gauging and establishing the status of the ladder of intelligence. And this is the way they placed it. They said that if we are to find the pattern of intelligence, we must reach out then to the evidence of it and what we know from the patterns of anatomy. Too many people today are citing that all peoples are the same. The difference is only in the pigmentation of the skin. Transfer them to another area and they will evolve into something different. In their study, they cited that for this transition to take place, the moving of Negroes into Africa, from Africa into, say, a place like Alaska or Lapland, that they should bleach out. But they'd have to bleach out fast enough for a male and female of bleached out ones to produce some bleached out Negroes. And they said if they died off, it wouldn't make any difference if it hadn't affected their posterity and if there hadn't been anything genetically established. And in this instance, these scientists instead said that nothing has longevity enough to mark any evidence since we have started to study the reactions of environment upon people to establish one mutating change. When 23,000 scientists were asked, how many of you believe in evolution, there was not one. But what I want to point out is they established it quite clearly. A white man can get pretty brown in the African sun, but when he takes his shirt off, he's still white underneath. And it doesn't affect his posterity, and white men have been in Africa for over 100 years and they're breeding just as white a group of babies as were ever bred upon the face of the earth. And we've had Negroes over here since 1680, and these Negroes are just as dark, and some of them are darker in their family line than some of those that have come over lately. I want to give you this little measure of results. The white man had the highest intellectual capacity and was at the top of the intelligence level. Now the Asiatic Turanians were somewhat beneath this slightly by evidences in which they had made comparative charts on abilities, initiatives, capacities, mental energies applied to problems and so forth. The Negro, they had below the brown or tan or island peoples as they had selected them from Pacific Island groups and from Malaya. They proved that the strangest thing that science has discovered is the emanation of energy. The ability to teach or to train that can move into any area of consciousness that emanates from the white man. They proved that they could go right down the scale in creatures. That the functioning of brains in the area of their ability to reason, to work out their little problems from all through the animal kingdom, Tao, that they set their scale by the intelligence level. They found the orangutan and the chimpanzee were pretty smart. They did a lot of thinking. In the great ape, also, they discovered that some gorillas muse and meditate, but they lost or forgot what they were thinking about, even their angers. They discovered also that the horse was far more brilliant than people give him any idea. They found the dog was brilliantly intelligent. They found cats were very, very intelligent, very much indifferent to the reaction of people's roundabout. But they discovered something that they mentioned in the study I thought was quite unique. That dogs that are in the homes of white people become infinitely more intelligent and are more animated than dogs that live in the huts and in the villages of Africa, who have not only an abstract relationship to life, but apparently take no interest in it. They pointed out that Negroes that are instructed and taught by white men can learn and be trained and developed under that leadership wherein they have no initiative upon their own. They discovered that they have even been trained to do jobs of surgery and move into these areas. But they cited that when they're trained by their own gradually are unable to get the scope of the idea across like a white man can get it across to them. So in this study, comparatively made, they also cited this, that just as a dog does better under a white man's influence, Negro does better under a white man's influence, when the white man guides, directs, and rules. They demonstrated that in areas where peoples of lesser intellectual capacities, by scientific evaluation, were left upon their own, that their progress goes downhill fast. Now, this was a group of scientists. They were not in any way involved in the racial upheavals, but they were very much concerned that there might be a wrong trend upon the part of world government and a wrong trend upon the part of society to submerge the leadership and intelligence by absorbing it and mutating it and wiping out its strain. Well, they just didn't realize it, but they were following the blueprint of God's kingdom very closely. He has ordained from the beginning that you're not to be mutated or integrated because you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we don't want either one of these things mutated. The process is not one that Lucifer has looked upon with pleasure. He dislikes the fact that the children of God are here. He dislikes the fact that superstition and darkness and error are to fall away before illumination and light. But there is something that he sought to do from the very beginning. He sought the seduction of your race for the loss of a radiance of light that surrounded you. We haven't the time to discuss this subject this afternoon in its significance, but we tell you that your race had an emanation, a vibratory force. And this was an illumination that broke in the photon field into the light ray capacity to be perceived even in video capacity. If you go back to the ancient record of the Sumerians, when they talk about your first forefathers, they said they were enveloped in light. If you go back to the records of ancient Egypt, they said you were the children of Osiris, the Ka of Ra, and of light, like the sun. That this strange emanation had power. And of course, this was demonstrated in the fact that when Christ wanted the disciples to see what kind of power belonged to him and the kind of power that belonged to them as his kinsmen on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw a glory and a majesty that so charged and thrilled them that they didn't want to leave the mountain. strangely enough, this enveloping energy and this affinity between the dimensions of light and the dimensions of electronics and the difference between a spiritual realm and a physical one. But charged as the embodiment of the spirits of God's family can be, this race was a race of light and of power. And in it is a tremendous secret of what God's about to do in this generation. We point out to you, therefore, that the design to turn out the light was one which we find in all the ancient records that relate to the design of your race. And your race, in submitting itself to the Luciferian temptation, lost that glory, lost that order of power. But it didn't lose it completely. There is a development of light energy that exists within the being. At times it forms an aura around the individual. It's there whether visible or not. It's not yet been increased until it breaks through into the video plane very often, except at times when great concentrations of people or people in great intensity are meditating upon the purposes of God and are catching a wave of guidance and the radiance can be seen upon them. And there is a perception that belongs to those who have been given this gift, that they may perceive the emanation of radiance, of light, and of glory that rest upon people. There's not a person in this room of the Adamic race that doesn't have a wavelength of divine energy. There's not a person in this room before this next decade is out of the passage of history that's not going to be radiant. We're not talking about just a radiant countenance. We're talking about a glowing emanation of glory. We point out to you that in the book of Isaiah, when it spoke concerning the climax of this hour, it said, thus, this is in the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Now that doesn't sound like white devils we're going to wipe you out, does it? It sounds like there's something that God's got planned that he hasn't consulted Mohammed X about. Something that he hasn't taken up with Mr. Wilkins of the NAACP and hasn't talked over with Martin Luther King, and apparently somehow or other the Kennedys have missed the point. In fact, I can think of some Episcopal rectors and bishops that have too. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. If it's risen upon thee, it's been on the inside waiting to come forth. An acceleration in the areas of the tempo of spiritual light and power is to be made manifest upon the sons and daughters of God. In the book of Romans, it says the whole creation vibrates with you, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The only thing that Jesus ever referred to as missing while he dwelt in a physical body was the light and the glory that he had when he was in this plane to spirit enveloped with it before the creation of the earth order. Give me back that glory that I had when I was enveloped in it before this era. I point out to you that we are told about the tremendous perils of this hour by the prophet Joel. He told us that everyone whose name is written in the book is going to be delivered. And we tell you that that book was written before the foundation of the world and you are not going to change it. We point out, however, that God has a plan for the earth. He's not abandoning it. He has a plan for his kingdom, and it requires empowered sons. And in this very hour in which you see the greatest challenge that's ever been delivered against your society, you're about to see the majesty and the glory of God descend. He's promised to illuminate leadership. I'm going to tell you, some of you seated here will be empowered with radiant force and glory before the advent of Christ for intervention, which could happen any time. I want you to know that the catalysting strength of people who believe thus saith the Lord and move with determination to carry it out is increasing until the invisible areas of that order, sometimes made visible to those that have the capacity to perceive it, is already being demonstrated as increasing. I know that a greater charge dynamic like a static force is moving through the earnest seeker who wants truth. And I know that the power of this truth, the power and dynamic of it, is more forceful than any power that has been turned loose against you in the earth today. We wish we had the time to tell you more about what was discussed by these scientists who thought they were discussing something of a material nature, but were producing more evidences of superiority, of spiritual capacity, and of divine qualities that God has placed in your race, that He's now bringing out of any possibility of dormancy as the Spirit restores to you in this climactic hour all the things that were you lost by submission to error. We mentioned in the past that Lucifer's complete idea was to capture the mind and the submission. God, as we said last Sunday night, that He could buy even Christ. The power of darkness and of jewelry is that there is no God but gold, and their Savior is a bride. And when Christ walked the earth, they thought they could buy Him. If you'll just worship me and this area for coexistence, if you'll just agree to worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world, all the riches, all their power, all their glory. I wouldn't want to offer that to a lot of ecclesiastical leaders I know today. But he had the audacity to attempt it. He thought he could buy this. And Jesus said to Lucifer, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." In this instance, one time, we made a great error of accepting the bad advice of Lucifer. He's made a bad arrangement throughout all time to seduce people with error, and when they accept it, they discover it never pays off. In fact, those today that think the church can make its agreement with the Antichrist, the world order, the United Nations, and with non-Christianity are not producing brotherhood, they're introducing their road to catastrophe. And Satan doesn't pay off. In this instance now, we point out to you that the one thing you lost that light, you lost that aura. God has restored intelligent guidance and spiritual illumination. He's led you line on line, precept on precept, to your science and your technology surpasses anybody else on the face of the earth. He's restored back to you many things you've lost, and you've learned to harness the elements to take the burden of the heavy labor off of your shoulders that your transgression produced. One of the things that's still to be restored is this mighty glory power of the sons of God. I'm going to tell you that it will be restored. Someone said, "Well, of course, what we need is a readjustment in our society." We surely do. And we need every spiritual force that can bring it to pass. But let me assure you this. If God walked the earth, who had the solution, who they couldn't put their hand on Him when He didn't want them to, walls couldn't hold Him, even when He was in a body like yours, if He said, "All I want is that light, that's all you need." I want to point out to you that this is one of the great days of restoration. The Apostle Paul said, "You're going to be changed from light and illumination and glory to glory, and with understanding and with the intensity of conscious wisdom of thus saith the Lord, developing to see your consciousness and your determination to carry out this blueprint, will the other areas of development also occur." We have the time to finish this subject this afternoon. But I want you to know that the powers of divine deliverance have never been shortened. I want you to know that though the enemy plans on mass assaults against those people who resist the darkness, that you're not to fear. You're not to surrender. You're not to appease. You're to stand firm. But God's not only promised deliverance, He's promised strength. He's promised that in the great hour of turmoil, that deliverance will come. More than that, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see miracles of resistance. You're going to see people run with fear before the demonstration of spiritual force. Instead of developing an area of complete Christian understanding, instead of denominational hierarchies saying we must stand as white Christians for the preservation of our society, we're willing to help the world, but not to permit the power of God's kingdom by the violation of His laws to be broken. There are too many that are surrendering to join the mob. I'm going to tell you this. You're not little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's only truth that makes you free. It requires a knowledge, divine understanding, which you're capable of receiving to know these things. And you can do anything that you know how to do. We point out these are perilous times. Those that seek to avoid responsibility because of peril discover that they are only exposing themselves to greater danger. Those that are willing to stand firm for truth, even in the face of what they might consider to be peril, will find that God has a covenant for their security and their protection. So we say this is not the time to retrench. This is the time to declare, thus saith the Lord. I want you to know he's called you to come out and be separate, to not be joined in affinity with the temple of idols, with witch doctors in the darkness. The church, Christianity, your nation, has never taken a view of opposition against the peoples of the world on the basis of their color. Sought to help them all, sought to guide them all, sought to create for them areas of achievement, was not responsible for how they exist and how they are made, but did not hate them. But there is a hatred that is now being directed against you. I just want to add this in one of the Jewish newspapers this week. They said they were boasting of how the Jews are not against any religion on the face of the earth except Christianity, and they hate this with all their heart down in Israel. Well, they hate it here, too, because they hate Christ and they hate the purpose of God. They serve their father, the devil, and the forces of Lucifer. I think it's rather significant then. They say that they have, that an atheist is well received in Palestine, an agnostic is acceptable, but a Christian never. I think it's time in a great Christian nation like this, we said to people like this, we can't assimilate either. And we should think about procedures that would deport everybody who's guilty of dual allegiance and vote in the elections of another country through their synagogues. Let us remember then that we have not resigned from the fight. God didn't ask his church to do this. Talked about the climax of this hour as empowered sons with a new challenging faith. Right, the climax of this church age as we move into the new age of one of light and of glory, not defeat. And this, my friend, is in the midst of all the attempts of the forces of Antichrist to destroy. Don't ever go out of this congregation with the idea that the Antichrist is going to take over the kingdom. He takes over the world order, and he's taken it over. It's the world order that he has. And he rules over the world, but he doesn't rule over the kingdom. He's penetrated it. He's fifth-columned it. And this nation and the Christian nations of God's kingdom are going to awaken in this hour, and they're going to eliminate Antichrist power from within their society. And this is your destiny. We're talking tonight on the subject of newspaper betrayal. It's important to understand the processes by which so many people are affected and influenced in our time. To understand why it is that there seems to be such a trend in things which are known to be error and still are being purported as essentially the only route and the only thing that can be done. If you today were to read the newspapers and magazines of America, you would get the general opinion that everything which is evil is good. You would get the general opinion that anybody that opposes evil is a part of a backlog of yesterday and a part of another time, another era, and we're holding back progress and we should be eliminated. If you love America, if you're a patriot, if you love God and you're a Christian and you bring together Christianity and patriotism, then you're a menace, says Senator Tukol. If you like the Constitution and the Bible, Attorney General Mosk of our state says you're our biggest problem. I think today the biggest problem comes to those that like Karl Marx, the Babylonian Talmud, the Mau Mau movement. But this is a sign of the times. I take this note that when I behold this situation, I know that we've reached the climax of an age in which we're about to see the great next step of God. I wouldn't want to live at any other period or miss what's about to happen. We're going to speak to you, as we said tonight, on this subject of newspaper betrayal, an explanation of what's transpiring and what must be done in the areas of communication inside your nation. We'll be speaking next Friday night as we cover the world events of this week, and they are important events transpiring around you all the time. There's no cessation of things of importance to your time in any period. We find not enough time to discuss them because they move with such speed. So Friday night, let's see this place filled as we discuss the world situation in the light of biblical prophecy. Next Sunday afternoon, we'll announce that subject this evening as the title. We're going to discuss also the great transition in God's kingdom next Sunday afternoon. And this transition is not the one that the enemy thinks that he's going to bring to pass. So we're going to discuss the transition in God's kingdom next Sunday afternoon. And that's the subject for this evening's evening. Now, as we receive your offering this afternoon, we're moving out into what will be 33,000 tapes this week. We need your tithes, we need your offerings to help carry out this program, and for everyone who's listening over the tape circuits across the nation this week, we urge you to send in tithes and offerings to help pay to reach more people with tapes, for the tapes you're receiving and using, because we are now in position to expand at great speed, and to reach more people, it takes more money. So with your tithes and offerings, we urge you to help us do that. See how many more people you can bring to tape circuits, and how many more you can get in coordination with the spreading of truth. We believe this afternoon that the salvation of our society is getting the truth to people. You shall know the truth shall make you free. This is what missionary activity is for. This is what your investment in the church is for, to spread truth, to reach people with truth, and to carry out the mission of the church as God's oracle. So with your tithes and your offerings, we urge you to help in this manner. Do not forget FTRB 1090 on the dial every day at 9:15, the voice of truth, and the services of this congregation and others. Almighty and eternal Father, put thy blessing to rest upon this congregation. Bless and multiply this offering, that we might carry forward the work of thy kingdom, to thy praise and thy honor, in thy name we ask it.